WLIW-FM In Conversation, our special program that brings you dynamic voices from across our region and beyond.
Welcome to WLIW-FM In Conversation. I'm your host, Diane Michelli, General Manager of WLIW-FM. Joining me is first-term Democratic Congresswoman Laura Gillen. Gillen represents Long Island's 4th Congressional District in Southwest Nassau County. Before joining Congress, Gillen worked as a lawyer and in local Nassau County politics. In 2017, Congresswoman Gillen became the first Democrat to be elected Hempstead Town Supervisor in 112 years. She is a Baldwin native and lives with her family in Rockville Center when not at her new job in Washington, D.C. Congresswoman Gillen, thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here.
So you've been in office now for, you know, a month or so. A big change in administration. You're new to your role. How has it been?
It's a whirlwind, but I'm so grateful to be here. I worked really hard to have the privilege of representing the people of the 4th Congressional District. I'm honored to be tasked with representing them and, focusing on what I said I was going to do on the campaign trail, which is find ways to reach across the aisle and just deliver for my constituents. And so that's been my focus from day one, and that will continue to be my focus.
And how's that going?
You know, I really, despite all the things going on in the White House, I've been focusing on places where there is the opportunity for bipartisan work together for the district. Look, the number one issue in my district was the border. I heard it time and time again, not just from Republicans, but also from Democrats. And in my first act, my first bill in Congress, I voted for the bipartisan Lake and Riley Act, which is aimed at addressing some of the after effects of are the problems with the security at our border, and joined the bipartisan SALT caucus. SALT, as you know, is another major issue in our district. My constituents are unfairly double taxed right now. And Donald Trump came to my district and said he was going to get us back our SALT deduction. I'm trying to hold his feet to the fire. Working with my Republican colleagues, I joined the first bill I co-sponsored with my Republican colleague, Congressman Garbarino, was a bipartisan bill to restore the full SALT deduction. Again, I'm on the SALT caucus, which is a bipartisan caucus. I testified before the Ways and Means Committee about how important this deduction is for my constituents. And to dispel the notion that it's only a little break for the super wealthy, it actually impacts folks, middle class and working class folks in my district tremendously. So those are some of the ways that I've tried to honor the commitment that I made to the residents of this district.
So SALT, for those who don't know what that is, what is SALT? And how does that impact us here on Long Island?
So it's the state and local tax deduction. So previously, prior to the Trump tax cuts, residents could deduct their state and local taxes from their federal tax bill. With the Trump tax cuts in 17 or in 18, that we lost our ability to deduct any more than $10,000. And so that has had a dramatic impact on our residents. And so what we're pushing for now is I'm pushing for a full restoration of the complete deduction. It's an unfair double tax on my constituents. And if the government wants to try to raise revenue, it can do it elsewhere, not on the backs of my residents.
So you talk about bipartisanship. I've seen a lot of news about the work that the Long Island Congressional Delegation is doing, like SALT. And there are some other things. I saw that Congressman Nick LaLota also put forth a 9/11 Memorial and Museum Act that you are a part of. What are some of the other bipartisan efforts that you're involved with like that, like SALT?
Well, I think I will be working with my Republican colleagues to make sure that we restore the funding for the survivors of the World Trade Center who are impacted and having really serious health concerns, to make sure that that relief fund is there for them and funded by the government. Our EMTs who came there and our first responders deserve that, and as well as the people who are just living and working there. And I worked in the World Trade Center area, and I was exposed to that toxic air. We were told it was not toxic, but it was. So we need to make sure that those funds are there for those folks. And I do believe that that's a bipartisan issue. And my Republican colleagues will join me in that. You know, there's a lot still to be done, but I'm hoping that I can work with my colleagues also on some healthcare issues and some environmental issues, because, you know, especially for Congressman LaLota and Congressman Garbarino, we live in a place that's surrounded by water. We've seen the ravaging effects of climate change, and we need to harden our infrastructure. And I'm hoping they'll join me in the efforts to make sure that we still have the funds to do that.
What committees have you been appointed to, and what work are you hoping to undertake in Congress and for Long Island through your committee work?
So I was really happy to join Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. This is a committee, I really look to join committees where you don't see the bombs being chucked across the aisle all day long. I look for committees that had an opportunity for bipartisanship. So Transportation and Infrastructure is one of those committees. It's always been regarded as a very bipartisan committee. Republicans and Democrats alike need those dollars to improve their roads and harden their infrastructure and to improve water quality. We have the Surface Transportation Act coming up this Congress, and already reaching out to my fellow committee members about how we can make sure that we keep the dollars going to keep those projects going, which not only improve the infrastructure, but employ the men and women of our district. So that's one committee. I'm also on the Science, Space, and Technology Committee, which has been known to be, I think, the most bipartisan committee in past Congresses. So far, we're off to a really great start. There's a lot of cordial behavior there. And so making sure that we can ensure that in these new fields, such as space, that we are at the forefront of that technology and in that space, no pun intended, and ensuring that America can compete with foreign competitors.
And what about if you're on the technology committee? Of course, one of the big topics that everybody's talking about all the time, and it's changing so rapidly, it's hard to kind of keep pace with. But AI, how does that come into play in that committee and the work that you're doing?
So there will be a special bipartisan AI task force. It used to be, my understanding is it used to be housed in SST committee. However, it might be a bi-committee or a multi-committee task force with folks from all different committees being able to participate in it. So we're still seeing how leadership decides they want to staff that committee up, but it's certainly something that I'm interested in. It's certainly something that will be addressed in the Science, Space, and Technology Committee. And again, this is a field where we want to make sure that our students are able to compete in this space and that we have proper regulation over this kind of wild west of AI technology, and that we are leading in this field.
So much is happening in Congress with the president. Every day we are hearing news of new things that are coming up. What else has come across your desk that you're paying close attention to?
Well, look, a lot of my constituents, I've heard from many of them that they are concerned about some of the things happening. Certainly, they're very concerned about the privacy concerns with the information that is being obtained in the Treasury Department. We've received thousands of calls about this. And I too share those concerns. I'm very concerned to make sure that Americans' private information, such as their bank records and their social security numbers, are not being shared with random people who are not tasked to protect that information. So that's something that we're paying close attention to. We're responding to our constituents and ensuring them that we will be leading the charge to make sure that their information is protected.
What was your first vote, and what issues have you voted on, and how have you voted, and why?
So I would say, there's some procedural you voted on, but one of the first bills that I voted on was the Lake and Riley bill. That is a bill that is focused on making sure that if there are undocumented persons, it's based on the unfortunate case of Lake and Riley, who was murdered by an undocumented person who had not been detained by otherwise by law enforcement. And so it just gives Homeland Security the ability that if there are people who have committed crimes and they have not been otherwise detained, that it gives them the ability to detain that person to make sure that they're not able to commit additional crimes, and then we'll face due process in accordance with whatever the local jurisdiction's criminal law is. So there were due process concerns raised, but it does not strip away due process rights. What it does is make sure it can get some criminals off the street, which is what people in my district definitely wanted.
The other big issue was the economy. How are you working to help Long Islanders when it comes to the economy?
Well, again, the first thing I can do right out of the gate is try to get them that state and local tax deduction back. That does have a real impact on the pocketbooks of the majority of my constituents. So that's one way I can help ease that burden. I'm looking to work across the aisle to address rising healthcare costs. I think that's something that I heard about quite often on the campaign trail. I was just meeting with some folks today to talk about how we could perhaps reduce the cost of prescription drugs for those who need mental health medications, whether it be antidepressants or people with ADHD. You know, ADHD medication can be extraordinarily expensive, and without it, some children aren't simply able to learn. So every child should have the opportunity to learn. So working in a bipartisan fashion and with the private sector to find ways to lower those costs.
So you're no stranger to the world of politics. How did your time as a local elected official here on Long Island prepare you for your new role in Congress?
Well, so as the first Democrat elected Hempstead Town Supervisor in 112 years with a Republican-controlled town board, it was not easy for me to accomplish some of the things I wanted to accomplish. But with a carrot or a stick, I was able to lower taxes, to rein in wasteful spending, to pass comprehensive ethics reform, to pass sexual harassment legislation, to save our water quality testing lab, to improve our shellfish hatchery to keep our waters clean, and do a number of other important projects. So I feel like that was the perfect training ground, you know, coming in with a Republican trifecta in Congress and in the White House. I'm used to governing in the minority and finding ways to get things done. Again, reaching across the aisle, that's the only way I could get things done in the town of Hempstead, because most of the town government is run by board resolution. So I needed to get three Republicans or two Republicans and one Democrat to join me on any resolution I wanted to get passed. So I feel like I'm prepared to come down here again to just focus on the priorities of my district and focus on good legislation that will bring jobs, economic security, and safety to my residents, which is the same concerns that I think Republicans have.
This is WLIWFM In Conversation. I'm your host, Diane Michelli, speaking with first-term Democratic Congresswoman Laura Gillen, who represents Long Island's 4th Congressional District in Nassau County. You mentioned that you're hearing from a lot of your constituents. You don't know how it would compare to a previous congressional session, but I've heard and read that many congressional leaders are receiving many, many more calls and outreach from their constituents. What are you finding there?
Well, you know, we are hearing a lot of concerns about privacy, a lot of folks who are unsure what's going to happen with ICE coming into, you know, round up undocumented workers. We've seen in our district, we have the diocese in my district, the Archdiocese in Rockville Center, and they've put out concerns that they're worried about folks coming into churches. We've heard from schools are worried about ICE agents coming into schools. And so now we've just seen that ICE is going to work with the Nassau County Police Force, which is something that I supported because I want to make sure that if people are coming to search, and there is a narrow focus on this issue, that they're coming to look for people who have arrest warrants out for them. And if they're coming to look for those folks, that they coordinated in a fashion with the local police so we know what's going on, so that we don't just have people in unmarked cars showing up at schools, showing up at churches, showing up at Home Depot, showing up at workplaces, and just barging in and taking people out. If it's done in a coordinated fashion, this way we can know, for example, we heard that ICE was coming in early after President Trump announced that he was sending folks out. We heard in my office that they were coming to Hempstead. What wound up happening is it was just for one individual who had a number of outstanding arrest warrants. They coordinated with the Hempstead police. And so it was done in a very coordinated fashion. It was a very limited fashion. It was for one individual who, again, had these outstanding warrants. And it was not, I think what a lot of people are afraid of is just, again, like an unknown force coming in and swarming a school, swarming a business, swarming a church, swarming a food pantry. And so the more coordinated and the more information we have, the better we can respond.
So you're hearing from your constituents. People are concerned about a lot of things. What do you think is possible, especially on immigration? You were just talking about that. Do you think that it's possible to come to an agreement across the aisle on immigration reform?
Well, folks on both sides of the aisle were talking about immigration reform. I talked about it throughout my campaign. Our immigration system has been broken for decades, and there's been a lack of political will on both sides of the aisle, quite frankly, to get something done. We have a mandate from our constituents to fix this problem. But that fix has to be fixing our broken asylum system. Our asylum system is not working for anyone. Want to come here or coming here, they're waiting for 6 to 8 years to get their cases heard. So during that time, they're building lives here, but they're living in limbo, not knowing if they're going to be able to stay or they're going to have to go. And meantime, for us, we have people who might be not have valid claims, and they're coming here and they're setting up here when maybe they don't have a valid claim and they should not be here and they should be back in their home country. We need to reform that system. I think judges within the immigration courts arena have said we need to reform this system. It's going to be more challenging now because I believe 2 hours after Donald Trump was sworn in, he fired all the top officials in the immigration court system. So it could be much more difficult to find the best way to reform that. But certainly that's something that I'm looking at. You know, my colleague, Tom Suozzi, has a plan to fix the asylum system. It's bigger fixes like making sure that people who want to seek asylum seek it from their home country. So, and that we expedite the timeline for those cases to be adjudicated. That's something that I think both sides of the aisle could agree is a smart step forward to make sure that that system operates more efficiently. We want to secure our border. Our residents deserve a secure border. Does that mean building a gigantic wall? Probably that's not the smartest way to get it done, but we should use smart technology to make sure that our border is secure and that people who are coming here legally and making sure that we stop the flow of fentanyl or other drugs across our border. But at the same time, any kind of immigration reform has to have a pathway to citizenship. We are a nation of immigrants. My grandfather was an immigrant from Italy, and everybody has the same story. It could go back one generation, it could go back many generations, but we have to incentivize people to come here the correct way and play by the rules by creating a direct path that people can come here who want to come here to apply for citizenship.
What about the environment? You mentioned that earlier. Obviously, Long Island is surrounded by water. I read something recently about some support for the dredging of some of the inlets to shore up our shores. What work are you doing for Long Island in terms of the environment and climate change and everything else that goes along with the environment here on Long Island?
Well, you know, again, I will be reaching across the aisle to my Republican colleagues, as well as working with my Democratic colleagues to make sure that we are not cutting dollars to important projects like Army Corps projects. Like, I think I don't know exactly what project you're referring to, but while I was supervisor, there was an Army Corps project that was rebuilding our dunes down at our beaches, which are vitally important to mitigate any effects of climate change, to rebuild some of the walkovers that we had at our beaches for our residents to be able to access the beaches and to harden our shoreline. And so, again, this shouldn't be a partisan issue. This should be a bipartisan issue because it impacts all our residents. So we haven't really had too many environmental bills yet. We had one that addressed forest management, which, of course, in the wake of the horrible fires in California, was a really important bill to get across the aisle. It was a bipartisan bill that I supported. So look forward to doing much more in this space. And of course, on Long Island, one thing that is a really big concern is water quality. As town supervisor, I recognize that this was a real big concern. We rightfully in New York addressed emerging contaminants in our water supply. However, putting in the filters as a municipality with a water department that provided water to many of our residents, and putting in the filtration system that would get the emerging contaminants out of our water supply was going to be incredibly expensive. So I believe I was the first person on Long Island, the first municipality when I was supervisor to sue the polluters who put those contaminants in our waters and joined a class action suit so we could get some money to put in those filtration systems and not put it on the back of our taxpayers. And so in Congress, you know, that is an issue that will be really important to address because we still have issues in lots of areas with water pollution.
In wrapping up, what do you want your constituents here on Long Island to know about your work in Congress, and how can they be in touch with you and follow your work?
So I am honored to represent them in Congress, and I'm looking forward every single day. My mission is to do something that will try to make the lives of the people that I represent better. I don't have a partisan attitude towards my job here. I have a constituent-focused attitude towards getting things done here, and I'm willing to work with anyone who wants to make lives more affordable, more healthy, and just overall better for my constituents. And they can reach me at my DC office, or they can reach me at my district office, which we did retain the same office that Kathleen Rice had and my predecessor in Garden City. So they can reach us at either office.
Well, Congresswoman Gillen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, Diane. Have a great day.
I've been speaking with first-term Democratic Congresswoman Laura Gillen, who represents Long Island's 4th Congressional District in Nassau County. We've invited the other congressional leaders to join us and hope to bring you those conversations too. More episodes of WLIWFM In Conversation are available on the WLIWFM app at wliw.org/radio and your favorite streaming platforms, including YouTube. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Threads at WLIWFM. I'm your host, Diane Michelli, General Manager of WLIWFM. Thanks for joining us for this latest episode of WLIWFM In Conversation.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of WLIWFM In Conversation, our special program that brings you dynamic voices from across our region and beyond.